based on the meeting that you had in Louisville with Steve Williams and Marilyn Buchanan, was there anything in that meeting that played into this decision that occurred during that meeting?
I'm not aware of that. You know, we sent a draft of a report that was just exactly what we agreed to there, which was simply, here are the various indices of what's happened from 2006 to 2012. Here are the three resolutions that have been passed. Here are the number of letters we've received, pro and con. Here is our assessment of how the president and the board are working together. And then as we looked at the president's contract, compared it to others, here's where we felt as if a contract is to be renewed, these are the changes that need to be made in the contract, which are essentially compensation type of questions. And I sent that out. The committee, all three, approved everything and it sent it out. And really no feedback, and mentioned it this morning, no feedback. Everybody felt as if they had the information. And I think it's been sort of a public, semi-public issue for some time. And I think board members had each come to their own conclusion about how they felt on the issue.
The you used the word feeling. What sort of metrics were used? What were the negative? What were the things that played against the president?
Well, I don't know, because each person did it on. I mean, I wound up talking as chair of the board. I talked to every individual, and several had sent emails to all the other board members saying, let's try and get this wrapped up at this March meeting as opposed to extending it. I don't know if there's anything that necessarily stood out, to be very honest with you. Each person, some shared with me their thoughts. Some did not. You know, some would say, I'm for a contract extension, or I'm at a point where I don't believe a contract extension is in order.
Can I ask how you personally weighed your decision, considering that you did have all the constituency regions and the constituencies of the university behind the president? What prompted your personal decision?
My own personal decision?
Yes, sir.
My personal decision was, as I told individuals, if the board votes in majority, I'm the last person that votes. I will vote yes with the majority. If they vote no, I will vote no with the majority. Now, having said that, I also said that if the vote came 5-5 to me, which would be a lovely experience, but if it came to 5-5, I would probably vote no, and I would vote no because I don't think any university, any board, any president, and I speak from personal experience as well as being a consultant to boards all across the country, can function well if a president doesn't have a strong majority of support of his board. In other words, it doesn't matter whether it's a local school board or a university board, a president has to have the confidence of a strong majority of the board. If that does not exist, there will be paralysis at the institution. And that was the key factor in my viewpoint.
It's interesting to note that even though the board was in dissent against the president, they fully supported all of the budget recommendations, with the exception of a handful, and one of them, Dr. Dunn himself, removed from the list.
Mm-hmm.
So can you draw any comparison between a board that votes unanimously for many of the recommendations provided by the president to a board, though, that votes, that's a split board, split vote on there for a personnel decision?
I think this board, really, if you look at it over the course of a few years, has worked very well together. They can disagree, and they have on several occasions. As I've told people, I've been in the minority, even as chair on several votes, without being disagreeable. And I think as a board, they understand their role as a board, and that is to be supportive of the administration's proposals. especially if there's a sense they went through a good process and that there were valid thinking behind the proposals. And if you stop and look at it, we decided we really did not want to go the route of thinking about outsourcing student financial aid. So don't waste your time studying that. But even going beyond that, the big concerns have been the impact of a lot of these recommendations on students, and we wanted to see that. But the board really, I think, wants to support whatever proposals come from the administration, provided they've been processed well. So I understand what you're saying, but I don't see that that was a real conflict. I think ultimately a board has to make a decision about leadership over the next 5 or 10 years, and the board and the president have to be together, and the board and the president have to be on the same wavelength. And I think that is a little different as you approach that decision from the decision of supporting good administrative processes. This board doesn't try to run the institution. It's really policy level, and it wants to support the administration.
This situation, though, isn't terribly dissimilar. I wasn't around whenever you were president at Murray State, but it seems very similar. You had dissension among the board, and then were forced to leave the university. What comparisons do you find between yourself and the current president?
Well, I don't know if I'm an objective person on that, but to make one key clarification, not that my situation is that important 30 years later, okay?
We're still here.
but the issue when I was to fire me in the middle of my contract. That was the issue, and fortunately I prevailed on that. The board had the right at the end of my contract to renew or not to renew, and I did not contest that. They chose not to renew it. I had a year notice, just like the president has. But the big difference between the two was this board is not making any kind of effort in the president's contract before its expiration. The board back then, that was the issue with me.
You made a mention, too, in that meeting that you obviously have to give them at least a year's notice. Was that specifically done today, or are you going to come back before June 30th?
No, this was done today. This was the decision today. The president wanted it done earlier. You all have covered that pretty well. And we on a plan. If you recall, at the December meeting, Mr. Williams' motion was that this is the plan, and we'll take final action at our May meeting, if not before. And majority of the board wanted to go ahead and do it now.
Chairman, what are the steps going forward to select a new president, and what sort of timetable will that be on?
That was at the tail end of the meeting. I am to put together a plan and present it to the board. And what I do in semi-retirement is I help universities search for presidents. So I'm working right now, for example, with Longwood University in Virginia. So I think I was asked to do this not so much because I'm chair, but because I know how the processes work. But what I will do is I will have some consultations with board members. I'll probably email them, what are your thoughts? And then I will share with them my thinking on the best way to proceed on a search for a new president. All I can tell you is I'm deeply committed to national searches. That doesn't mean people who are on the campus aren't eligible for consideration, but I have a deep commitment to that concept that we will search nationally. It'll be an open search, and I'll suggest how it ought to be structured, and then the board will decide that.
Will you then do that search immediately?
No, I think what happens in those searches is that you try and get a structure done, and then the committee meets and makes its decisions, and the process usually takes 6 to 8 months. And not much gets done over the summer because people aren't there. I mean, that's just the nature of things. But the idea is when you go into a search process, it would be really nice if a decision could be made by early spring, even late winter of next year, and that would coincide with the president's contract. So the idea would be having someone roughly a year from now.
Sorry, that messed with my audio. the question about the political, whether there have been people with, assuming that there have been some politics at play in whether or not the president would you care to elaborate on that?
No, it's just that the last time they went through the search, there was concepts, you know, that there were Democrats and there were Republicans, and there was even some discussion, depending on what church you were, you've probably heard some of those. There was none of that. There were just basically 10 individuals who said, this is how I look at things. No disagreement on the facts. I just give more weight to this, less weight to that. And, I think you saw it quite obviously. There are a couple of regents who really felt strongly about the extension of the contract. And you could tell that they were hurt by the vote. But you could also tell throughout the day that there was no factions. There were no politics. This board works very well together. And, that's what I'm hopeful that this decision won't impact that.
You mentioned the structure. Is there a way to build safeguards into that search structure so that those concerns over agendas or opinions are lessened?
Well, you know, transparency is the traditional way. In most searches, there is a limited amount of transparency in the process when candidates, individuals, throw their name in, and frequently they don't want to jeopardize the positions which they hold now. But I think the best process at the end is that transparency comes into play at the end, and individuals, like the provost search, individuals, I have no idea who the four people are that the provost search committee will have on campus. But when they are on campus, it's an open search, and at that point, the media, the faculty, they'll Google like heck. They'll find all the information on it, and that's the best way to determine that. What you want to avoid is a situation where all of a sudden it's like a debutante ball and someone says, here he is or here she is, and I'm opposed to that. I favor as much transparency in that process as possible.
There's been some speculation on campus. You talk about rumors going on around campus that we've had two Alexander members of the family as a president, Colonel Alexander and King Alexander. There are rumors that Clint Alexander, another son, there's interest, and then that there's a connection between your family and the Alexander family, if you'd care to elaborate on that.
There's absolutely no consideration of any Alexander. I've never met Clint Alexander. Of course, no Kern and King. And there's not a single board member that has suggested that either of those people be under consideration.
You said, too, that the president obviously wanted this vote either, I mean, even in December meeting, but before really May. So he obviously wasn't blindsided by this vote. I mean, obviously the board could have extended his contract or they could have said no. So, I mean, it seemed as though he was not really blindsided, but he had an idea that this was probably coming up for a vote.
It
wasn't a surprise, I should say.
He indicated to me that he did not think it was a surprise. I mean, that's what he indicated to me. He has indicated to you all that he thought that vote ought to have taken place earlier, but that wasn't the process that the board had approved. And we just, I've always felt, I mean, I've been a president for 26 years. And I've been this is the second board that I've been on, and I've always tried to do my job as president to the best of my ability, and to try and be a board member to the best of my ability, and not to get the two roles confused. And the important thing for a board is to follow policy and process. That's not to say you don't change it, but I think Murray State benefits when there's a clear process and the board follows procedures and the board does what it's supposed to do and doesn't try to run the institution or to make decisions based on something other than established process. And that's been my goal since the board elected me chair, to follow that. And at the time when we went through that whole evaluation, it was very clear, we made it very clear, what we wanted to do was to have an evaluation. If there are concerns in the evaluation, you call these to the attention of the president, make it a constructive exercise, and hopefully, in the process, problems disappear, concerns are mollified, and everybody's together. So it was clearly understood at that time, and I don't know all the factors that went into the thinking here, because living in Lexington, you're not here on a daily basis. But the board felt pretty strongly about following the process that was outlined.
Was one of those weaknesses relationship with the board?
I think to some board members that was, to be very honest with you. I'm not sure it was to all, but I think some board members felt that.
And when I mean relationship, just basically use the term in business to work the board, to communicate with the board, to seek input, to use them as counsel. Is that what – are we on the same wavelength based on board relationships?
Well,
there?
I think board members don't like to be surprised. Board members want to fulfill their role. This is a good board. I'm just going to say that. Forget me for a moment. I've been on a lot of boards. I've worked with a lot of boards. I think there are hundreds of presidents across this country that would welcome the opportunity to work with this board, excluding me. Just forget that. So I think that broad area was of some concern. I think you've got to realize also that there are several chief executives on this board. You have Jerry Sue Thornton, been 21 years CEO of the community college system. Harry Lee Waterfield, for many years, has been CEO of Investors Heritage Life Insurance Company. Steve Williams, for I think 20 years now, is it 12 or 20 years, been 20. Head of the largest healthcare hospital. And others on this board. Jack Rose was superintendent of schools, CEO of here in Callaway County. I mean, when you look at it, this board has several individuals currently or previously had chief executive experiences. So they know how chief executives should function, and they know how boards should function. And I think, obviously, their perspectives came into play.
Those are all the questions I have. Do you guys have anything else?
Thank you. Sorry.
No, that's all right. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
And it's June 30th, 2014, correct?
That is correct.